Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Katie G and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, July 2nd, 2014. Today we are reading from the big book Alcoholics Anonymous and we are on page 86 at the paragraph, the second paragraph starting with On Awakening. Today's readers are Cassandra H., 12 Steps of OA, Elizabeth D., 12 Traditions of OA, and our readers of the text are Larry, Penny C., and Sally. The reference number for Tuesday, July 1st, is 6588. 6588. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Cassandra H. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Cassandra H.
Good morning, visionaries. This is Cassandra H., a compulsive overeater from Georgia. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are: Step 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks, and I pass.
Thank you, Cassandra H. And I will now ask Elizabeth D. to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Elizabeth?
Good morning, everybody. This is Elizabeth D. in Ohio, compulsive overeater, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 Traditions of OA. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous on page 86, the second paragraph starting with On Awakening. And I will now ask Larry to please begin our reading. Larry?
Katie, thanks so much for your service. Larry, recovered compulsive reader from Chicago. Okay, on awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. So, you know, I can say that prior to undergoing this transformation upon awakening, you know, my thoughts were directed towards other things. I wasn't recovered. I hadn't, you know, gone through this process. But, you know, my thoughts were on the crisis from the day before, you know, centered in self. And I tended to focus on what I was lacking, you know, perhaps resentments and fears and that sort of thing. And, you know, on awakening today, I follow the instructions, and I do this every morning without fail. I consider, as it says, my plans for the day, and I ask God to direct my thinking. I think of the 24 hours ahead. The Big Book instructs me to ask for, you know, for something specific, too. It says, you know, to ask that my thinking be divorced from self-pity and self-seeking motives. And so that's what I do. I am thinking about my day today, for example, and my day ahead, you know, involves some work meetings, actually all day of work meetings. you know, how can I be of service to others today, God? You know, and it's amazing that prayer, something that I didn't do before, you know, when I was in this disease for decades, prayer was not something that I engaged in. You know, it didn't seem real to me. I felt certainly disconnected from a higher power of my own understanding. So how could I go from that to today following these specific instructions? You know, getting up and I say some prayers. I say the step three prayer. I say the step seven prayer. This gets me, you know, centered. It seems to allows me to be centered. I do it because what I found over time is that it works. Under these conditions, as we're instructed, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. For after all, God gave us brains to use. You know, God gave me these brains to use. And I want my thought life to be placed on a much higher plane. And it is. You know, so the day, it's amazing how God, what I've seen over time, I'm not saying day one, day two. You know, my prayers are no longer foxhole prayers. When I woke up after a day of, you know, the previous day's mayhem and binge and insanity, you know, prayer and God consciousness were about the last things on my mind. And today what I've seen is I do it because it works. God gave me these instincts. You know, he gave me, and one of the instincts is sustenance with food. Absolutely. It's not my focus anymore. It doesn't consume me anymore. I consume it. It's sustenance. It's all given to me by God. But I need to tap into the power source, you know, the power source, whatever it is for you. It's, you know, if my words sound, you know, that I have some, you know, certain orientation, don't believe it. You know, I don't completely understand this God of my understanding. This continues to unfold for me. But what I can tell you is it works. I'm a better person when I have placed my trust on this higher plane. You know, and when my thinking is cleared of wrong motives, I think of how I can serve others and how I can be of service. You know, today to my employer. You know, what can I do? And what happens to me today? So what is the outcome? The outcome for me today is that God continues. It's this God, this power source, this loving creator, continues to place in front of me people, situations that allows me to use these instincts effectively and be of maximum service. I never, a day does not go by, I can tell you, where I don't have loads of opportunities to be of service, and I'm the better person for it. It's not what you know, what God is doing for me so much as what can I do for God today. You know, that's how I look at it. This gift, after all, you know, this gift I received. You know, in the AA 12 and 12 acknowledges that those who have come to make regular use of prayer would do, you know, would no more do without it than we would refuse air, food, or sunshine, you know. When we do this, the body and mind suffer. And so too with prayer. Why would I deprive my mind and body of this nourishment that I get every day? It is the central part of my life today, is this connection. I want to keep this connection with my higher power. This gift that was given me, I need to maintain my fit spiritual condition, and it's not difficult to do, I can tell you. Living in 10, 11, and 12 is not difficult. Oh, life can be difficult at times, but it's not difficult to stay in this frame of mind for me today. I chop my wood every day, and then God does the rest, and with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Larry. And who would like to comment this morning on what was just read?
This is Bella. Can I share?
Yeah, Bella, but I think I heard someone before you, so that was Kim that I heard. And was there somebody else that I missed? I have Kim and then Bella. Okay, that's our lineup. Kim, please begin, and then we'll have Bella.
Thank you, Kimberly. Good morning, all. My name is Kim G, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey. So let's just kind of review. You know, we did 4 through 9, which was cleaning up the past. So we were able to address our selfishness, our self-centeredness, as it pertained to the past. We went over step 10, which is how we can deal with the jerk in front of us right now. And now we're doing step 11. Step 11 is allowing us to look at the world in 24-hour chunks. So we did when we retire at night, which is reviewing our day, and now we're doing upon awakening. We're kind of doing a preventative work. Let's not have to wait till things happen. Let's put our mind in alignment with God's so that we cannot have to clean up the past, because we're going to be going into this with a God-centered mind. So it says here, before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking it to be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. And I love how they use that word divorce, because what do we divorce? We divorce something we once used to love. So what did I love? I love self-pity. I love dishonesty. I love self-seeking. Those were the things I gravitated towards in my disease, and I found out in 4 through 9 that was exactly what was blocking me from that inner resource which allowed me to live free of this obsession. So I'm asking God to be divorced, to be separated from those things that block me from God and from my fellows. And if I'm doing that, then maybe I can have a day where I'm not having to do a lot of step 10. Maybe I'm having a day where I can be truly connected to God and my fellows. Because what do we ask for in step 3? As we began this journey of action, we ask for the freedom from self. So in step 10, we're able to deal with the people in front of us that are disturbing us right now and become undisturbed. And step 11 is actually 3 parts. It is when we retire at night, upon awakening, and then pausing throughout the day. And if we do that, we can have this connection with a higher power. When we have that connection with a higher power, the obsession will be removed. And if the obsession is removed, I do not want to eat. And if I do not want to eat, I do not pick up the food. And if I do not pick up the food, I do not get in the vicious cycle of the doctor's opinion. It is a simple formula, but it takes vigilance, and it's inconvenient, and I have to focus my recovery first above all else. Because let me tell you, the best gift I can give my family, my employer, and anyone I come in contact with today is to put recovery and my relationship with God above everything else. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kim. And Bella, please go ahead.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. My name is Bella, and I'm a thankful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Katie, for doing this service, and thank you very much, everybody on the line. I love this paragraph. It's a wonderful, wonderful paragraph. For after all, God gave us brains to use. Wow, thank you, God, for trusting me and for giving me this present that I accept, and I know that I have brains. Thank you, God, for this wonderful present. Yes, before program, I didn't know that I have brains. I didn't trust my brains. I didn't accept that I have brains. I just was under the supervision of my ego. I just wanted to please people. I didn't believe that I deserve a respectful for myself. I wanted to be a people pleaser. I wanted so much to get approved for my existence. And no wonder that I was just jealous, not happy, sad, disappointed. And I didn't even think that I have permission to use my brain. I didn't believe that I have the brain. And now, after doing the steps, after doing the step 4, I accept that I have character defect, and yes, it's such a gift that I have brain to be aware and to accept that I am human and therefore I have limitations. It's a wonderful feeling that I have brain to say, yes, I am sorry, I did mistake. I can do amends and I know that God forgives me. It's a wonderful feeling. It's a freedom that I have brain. And what means brains? Brains doesn't mean that I am the smartest and only me. Brains is acceptance. Brains is acceptance that I am powerless, and therefore I want and I am happy to be connected to God, to the power of love and acceptance and respect. It's a freedom feeling. Yes, I have brains, and God trusts me. I am connected to the trust power. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks, Bella. And this is Katie G, and I'm just going to take a hot minute. I love, love hearing everybody's experience with this step, and I just wanted to talk practically about what this means for me. So I consider my plans for the day. So what does consider mean? Think carefully. So I've gotten up, I've bowed to God, and I'm thinking about the 24 hours a day. And the first thing I'm saying is, okay, God, direct my thinking. Okay, again, so Katie is no longer the director. I have failed in management of my life, right? So I am no longer the director. And divorce it. So severance closely, God. I used to be really connected to self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. And if I don't think your thoughts after you, I'm going to do that again. And so my sponsor instructed me to think through my day. So what's going to happen today? Like a soldier or a captain, you know, meditating, okay, so what's going to happen to me today? And I employ my mental faculties. What are faculties? They're powers. And so in my prayer, like when I'm considering this, I'll say, okay, God, this is what's happening after the meeting. This is what's happening at work. This is what's happening in school. Oh, I think I'm going to, what are my potential pitfalls? You know, I know that I engage in gossip with her all the time, God. Help me feel safe and secure enough in your light and love that I don't re-engage that. Help me not get married again to selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking motive. And I love that, you know, emotive means insight to action. So what's going to impel me forward? What's going to move me forward? Is it going to be Katie getting what she wants, or is it going to be God? God, I accept that you've given me the privilege of living today. Help me surrender the outcome. Help me just show up, because I have to be honest with you guys, I am not Katie the show up girl. I'm Katie, put my jammies back on, get in my bed and not show up and divorce all of you from my life and hate you while doing it. That's who I am at my core. And thank you, God, for this action-oriented program that, you know, gives me instructions. How do I continue? I'll just close with this. I never knew how to live my life. And what step 11, 10, 11, and 12 are giving me is clear directions on how to live my life. And somebody during this meeting last time shared that they have this app on their phone that reads these pages, and there is an app on your phone that will read the whole big book to you. I find it very helpful, very easy to have someone read this to me before I even get out of bed so that I can be prayerful with God and I can start my day right. And what a privilege to be able to start my day right, because if I can stay with God all day, then my thinking is going to stay clean and eating isn't going to be a step up from how I feel about myself. And that is the miracle of my life today. And with that, I do pass and welcome more shares on this paragraph, please.
Joanne from Charlestown.
Joanne from Charlestown, please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good morning, everyone. And I think one of my favorite lines in the entire book is on awakening, because to me, it just sounds so soothing and peaceful, because when I was in the food, the last thing I wanted to do was wake up. I mean, I would eat to oblivion, and waking up in the morning was the most painful experience, because it usually started with regret from the day before, what I had done, what I had failed to do, self-hate, looking in the mirror, and now with step 10, now the food's down and the ability to have these steps for guidance, like waking up is a privilege, and it's just to wake up and feel free and joy. And that's not always the case, but I love this, and ask God to direct our thinking and I was away for 3 weeks. I just got back from vacation. And it's funny, there were a couple of days of bad weather, and here it is, vacation. And it was 39 degrees where we were one morning. And I was starting to, you know, get very upset, like, God, you know, this sucks, it's raining, blah, blah, blah. Now, I'm traveling with my sister, and there's other people on the boat. And I remember waking up one morning, kind of despondent, was like, wait a minute, God, direct my thinking. I'm not alone on this trip. My attitude is going to affect my sister and other people on this boat. So God, let me, first of all, let me be grateful I'm on vacation. Let me be of service to my sister to be pleasant and to find all the good in where we are today, because it was just amazing. But those are the things I love when just starting out, direct my thinking, because the thinking is the core of my problem. And that's what needs to be changed on a constant basis. My sponsor once said, whatever you're thinking, think the opposite, and then you're going to be okay. Because my thinking is usually fear, doubt, insecurity, and negativity. So I just love that. You know, on awakening, when I hear those words, I think of birds and songs, like a lot of everything's wonderful. And, you know, when I'm right with God and the food's down, that's how it feels. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne. And who else would like to comment on this paragraph?
Renata.
Renata, please go ahead.
Leia.
And Leia. We'll have Fabia. Renata first. Oh, okay. Hang on 1 second. So I have Renata, Leia, and Rabia. Did I miss anybody? Did I hear Monica?
Tawana.
Tawana, okay. Was there someone else I missed? Okay, so our lineup is Renata, Leia, Rabia, and Tawana. We'll begin with Renata, please.
Thanks, Katie. Hi, everyone. Good morning. This is Renata, recovered compulsive reader in New York. Own awakening. So that to me means every day, because I wake up every single day. In the past, I used to do my prayers and meditation, you know, during the week. And then on the weekends, oh, it's my day off. So that's not what the book's telling me here. It's saying own awakening. So whenever I wake up, my first move today is to start my day with God, with prayer and meditation. And it says, we consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. What this tells me is that if I don't include God in the planning of my day, I'll probably fall into old patterns that were very, you know, very strong in my life. And the patterns were just those, self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. And I used to wake up and relieve all my resentments from the days, the previous days, and then start projecting to the fear, to the future, and be paralyzed with fear, and then, you know, feel sorry for myself for whatever happened to me that didn't go my way, or, you know, go about my day thinking, what can I get away with today? And now when I wake up and I include God into my thinking and my planning of the day, that automatically sends me into a different road, a road of, okay, how can I be of service today? You know, what would God have me be or do today? And it's a much, much better life. And I do this every single day with no exception. And my life is better because of that. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Renata. And Leia, please go ahead.
Thanks so much, KDG, for your service. Obviously, these are suggestions related to step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. And that conscious contact, you know, is what the whole program is all about. And the point of these suggestions for someone like me is to take my thinking to a different level. You know, these suggestions that I follow every day allow me to clear my mental and spiritual vision so that God's truth can make his full and proper impact on my mind and my heart. Because my actions through this day, you know, after we all hang up and bid farewell on this line, my actions are going to be determined by my thinking. And I alone am responsible for my thinking. So these suggestions allow me to get my thinking in a more elevated position. Because thinking is what most of the time is what disturbs all of us. It's on autopilot. You know, if you're a typical human being, then you wake up with the same worries every morning. Maybe you're worried about a job. Maybe you're worried about your bank account. Maybe you're worried about a spouse. Maybe you're worried about a sick child. Maybe you're worried about an elderly parent. You know, if you're a typical human being, you get up and wake up with those same worries every morning. And, you know, the negativity starts, and the negativity can last all day, and you're trying to accomplish the best purpose you can in your life, but your thinking is in the gutter. This is the basic level of our thinking, you know. Prayer and meditation, for me personally, you know, give me a break from my thoughts that are potentially dangerous for someone like me. All the problems that I have are coming from my thinking, my negativity. So these suggestions of prayer and meditation allows an opportunity for my thinking to be guided to a higher level. You know, it's like a radio signal coming in, which is operating, that will tell me exactly where I'm going and will guide me. And if that conscious contact is strong, and if my vessel is open, then I can hear those signals more easily. If there's a lot of static going on and a lot of negative lowered thinking going on, then it is more difficult for me to hear that signal. And it's an opportunity for me to communicate, you know, with my higher power. Communication is vital to any healthy relationship. If spouses chose not to talk honestly with each other, their relationship would suffer and end up in the gutter and eventually fail. So my relationship with God, since that's the most important asset that I have, and having a relationship with God is impossible without communication, then these are instructions that I need to follow daily in order to properly align my mind. Because my whole reality only exists in my mind. If my mind constantly tells me to worry, then I'm going to worry. But if my mind constantly tells me that God is what I rely on today, that God is who I trust, that God is my safe refuge, that God is my harbor, then my thinking is at a higher level. And, of course, all action is born in thought. My actions are determined by my thinking, and my actions are going to affect all those people around me. So today I ask, you know, please, God, direct my thinking as I interact with my husband, because I have been given the role as a wife. What role do you want me to play today? God, please direct my thinking. I want to have the light turned up, and my light comes from you, God. You are the source of my light. So in my role as a wife today, please help me speak with patience and understanding and compassion to a husband. Please, God, give me patience, understanding, and love and tolerance as I speak to my 12 children whom you have blessed me with. Please, God, allow me to be patient, understanding, compassionate, loving, harmonious as a mother-in-law, a new role that you have assigned to me in recent years. Please, God, allow me to be a daughter to aging parents. Allow me to be compassionate. Allow me to be supportive, to be understanding, to be tolerant, to be loving, to be patient with aging parents. Please, God, allow me to feel blessed by these grandchildren. Allow me the strength to care for these children. Please, God, I ask not for a lighter burden. You've given me so, so much. But please, God, grant me broader shoulders. These are the kinds of thoughts that I need to have in order to, be in a position to serve as God wants me to serve today. Because if I rely on my emotions for stability, given how much emotions fluctuate, then I'm going to be on a roller coaster, and so will everybody else. But if I'm stabilized by God, if I have that conscious contact, then my thinking is stable, therefore my actions are stable, therefore I can bring harmony and love and patience and tolerance and compassion to those around me. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Leah. And Rabia, go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. This is Rabia, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from New York. And thank you, everyone, for this meeting this morning. And I need these practical, precise directions in my life, and am grateful for them. I got home very late last night from spending the evening with very sick, still family members. For hours, we were with family, and just very difficult for me. I did get home very late, and on the way to bed, I just went through the 10-step and answered yes, to all of those questions about. Was I resentful? Was I dishonest? Was I selfish? Was I fearful? Yes, all of those things. I felt so toxic when I got home last night. And I knew I was waking up to this exact paragraph today on the Visions meeting. And I was so grateful on awakening that I would soon be with all of you on this line. And I have an emotional hangover this morning. I knew when I woke up, and I know I do not feel love and tolerance of others. Although that is my code, I don't feel it this morning. And thank God I have practical tools now. And I've already made a date to do a 10-step turnaround with somebody after this meeting because I want to free myself up to be of use to God in loving service and to be recovered in my life. And I do have all of you to help me do that today. And I did ask God to direct my thinking this morning. And it's important for me to put things in a positive framework because I really do believe in the law of attraction and affirmations. And so in the morning, I ask God to direct my thinking, especially I ask that I forget myself and honestly seek interest in others. And so during the day, I have this positive affirmation. I want to forget myself in this moment, and I want to honestly seek interest in others and helping others. And that really does help me, and that is my code for the day. And that's how I felt yesterday going into this family situation. And it's not how I felt coming out of it, 4 hours later. And I did the best I could. I did not harm any of them. I didn't say anything. If anything, I owe an amends to my husband for just my irritability and discontent. And I can clean that up, and today I'm willing to, and after my 10-step turnaround, I will be willing to. I wasn't willing to do last night, and I knew to just keep quiet. And after a night's rest, today would be a new day. And so I'll close by saying, on awakening, thank you, God. Thank you, all of you, that I get a new beginning. Thank you, God, for this new day, a new beginning, a beautiful summer day. And I get to live it in these 12 steps. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Rabia. And Tawana, please go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Tawana. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater. And I'm learning to follow a lot of the instructions in this big book. I got up today and asked God, what could I do for the still sick person in our fellowship? And I find that, like the previous day, I really had a very emotional day, up and down, tearful, but I realized I didn't have to eat over how I was feeling. I've learned some clear-cut directions And I sat there and I felt all these things, and I was learning to appreciate my down days, because if we don't appreciate the days that we don't feel so well or act in accordance in the manner that the big book tells us to or respond, we'll miss something that'll help us grow. So I tried my best to, even though I didn't like what I was feeling, I just felt it. And this morning is a new day. I got up with the same plan of action. I get up, I pray, I meditate, I try to eat properly, follow my meal plan, and I make a meeting once a day. And as long as I do that, I'm well on my way to the road of becoming recovered. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Tawana. And let's move on. Penny C., will you continue where the reading left off?
Yes, thank you, Katie. Good morning. My name is Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still and experienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it. I'm going back to the top of page 86 there, where just the sentence that says, it would be easy to be vague about this matter. And the matter they're referring to is the matter of prayer and meditation. And yet, as we go on, we are given again clear, distinct instructions, and they call them suggestions that if we follow, we are going to live the life that we aspire to, the life of freedom from self-will and freedom from self-pity. And even now they're telling us, even when we're faced with indecision, well, I'll tell you, every day is indecision for me. And it's many, many decisions to make as I go through the day. Some little ones, some big ones. You know, shall I choose to take this road or another? Should I go? Sometimes I have three invitations to do something on a certain day, and so how do I know what to do? Well, my sponsor always said to me, just sit down, relax, and talk to God. And that's where the intuitive thought comes, the intuition, the inspiration. I look at that word inspiration, I see the beginning of spirit in there. Spirit, for me, makes me think right away of my higher power. And so this says, gee, you know, Penny, it's easy. Just relax, take it easy, sit down, and be quiet. That's the important thing. Be quiet, because no intuitive thought or inspiration can come when I'm chattering in my own head and I'm trying to tell God why I want one thing over another decision. And so if I just talk to God almost all the time. But I love the way this book always leaves us room for, you know, it says we may not be inspired at all times, and we'll pay for that. What I know I've got is the rest of the steps. So if I am not inspired and I make the wrong decision, or I need to owe an amends, I can go back and use step 8 and 9 and take care of that. Every day, I've been studying this book paragraph by paragraph for about 6 years now. And every time I read this, every single day, I see that these directions are more clear and more easily understood than the day before. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny C. And who would like to comment on this paragraph, please?
This is Amy.
This is Paula. May I comment?
Oops, Rakesha. Sure. We have Amy, Paula, and then was there someone else?
Yeah, Rakesha.
Rakesha. Okay. And anybody else on this? I have Amy. Sorry?
Suzanne.
All right. I have Amy, Paula, Rakesha, and Suzanne. And we're going to begin with those four. Amy, please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you. And thank you, everyone who shared. Thank you for your service. My name is Amy. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. I don't know about you all, but I used to think about, like, when you face indecision, you know, throughout the day. But it says, in thinking about our day, which means we're still reviewing what we think is going to happen for our day. You know, a pause. Oops,
Amy,
I got lost.
We lost you for a minute. Yep, you're back now. Thanks.
Okay. So, you know, the prior paragraph says on awakening, and this paragraph is in thinking about our day. And this is clear instructions about how we go about our day in recovery. And in thinking about our day means that I sit before my day begins and I review. Through prayer and meditation, I review my day. I think about and plan my food. I go about what am I going to be doing today. I pray to be of service to the still suffering compulsive overeater. I'm still reviewing what I think my day is going to be and how to align myself with God's will and what God would have me do for the day. So this to me is a discipline of reviewing on a regular basis in the morning before my day begins. And yes, throughout the day, I might face indecision where I ask for an intuitive thought or action. But my day begins already aligning myself and putting myself in the best possible position to be of service to my God and the still suffering compulsive overeater, and to be, you know, devoid of self-seeking motives and all of those things. But again, when we face indecision, we ask God for inspiration and intuitive thought or action. To me, this is the slogan all over, pray to God, row to shore. You know, a lot of times I may not get that answer right away, but when I pray and I turn it over to God, I go ahead and my sponsor always says, do the next right thing. What is the next right thing in my day to do? And it is amazing to me how the right answers do come after I've done this for a while. If we go back to the promises, it says we will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could never do for ourselves. And this process of reviewing my day in the morning and then going out through the day, and when I face a decision, turning it over to God and then doing the next right step, the next right thing, it's amazing how this program just transforms how my life goes and how my day goes. And those intuitive thoughts become a basis upon which I self-introspect, I pray, and then I make the decision to do the next right thing, and God takes care of the rest. You know, God takes care of the rest. It is a process. As others have said, it is a process, but it's progress, not perfection. I have to get out there and give those shots, you know, give it a shot, give it a try. Sometimes I am inspired, and other times there were absurd actions. But God is carrying me throughout. I have faith now. And every day I take a leap of faith, I step out in faith, and God blesses me for that and allows me to be of service to Him throughout the day. And I've come to rely on this method of behavior through my prayer and meditation, through my reviewing of the day, through my self-introspection throughout the day, and through my prayers and meditation. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Amy. And Paula, please go ahead. Paula, please press star 1 so we can hear you.
Sorry about that. I am now unmuted, and thank you, Katie. I repeat that. And as I come here, you know, this here, we may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God. Seems like there's a lot of asking God here, because there needs to be a lot of asking God to live this life as it is presented, as it is given, an intuitive thought or decision. You know, here they used the words on awakening, and I like that word, but you know, I want to go to where the back of the book where it says spiritual experience are, spiritual awakening. From the very beginning of the day, I awaken too. But William James says something, and I think it comes along right here. William James calls the educational variety because it develops slowly over a period of time. But I'm going to step down a little bit more. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner, there again, inner resource. What's a resource? A source of aid or support. That's what I have all through the day. And then it says what used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration all of a sudden gradually becomes a working part of the mind more and more because it's less and less of me. Finally, you see, there was the answer. And then it says being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God. I mean, do you see what that says? Contact with God? These are strong words. It is not probable that we're going to be inspired at all times. No. No, we wander away. We might pay for this presumption and all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. I will tell you clearly, they're the truth. I know if I say that, that's going to happen. Oh, no. Did you run it by God first? No. Nevertheless, don't you love this word? It's a long one. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. See, that's the plane I want to be in. That is the higher plane. In the destination this plane takes you to, oh, every day recovered with that spiritual conscious contact with God. Thank you for allowing me to share. And with that, I do pass.
Thank you. And we're going to wrap up the hour. Rakusit and Suzanne, if you could just be mindful of our three-minute time so we can let you both share. We'll start with Rakusit, please. Rakusit, please press star 1 so that we may hear you.
I'm sorry, I was muted. This is Rakusit, compulsive overeater, recovered in California. And what pops out at me from this paragraph is conscious contact with God. This is, you know, these two paragraphs imply that that is what I need to have in the morning when I wake up, on awakening, conscious contact with God. And it's amazing that today, the first thing I think about when I open my eyes is God. I'm grateful. Thank you, God. You're giving me a gift of another day. I have to make that conscious contact with God immediately. And after I brush my teeth and wash my face, the next thing I do is go directly into prayer and meditation. I cannot start my day without prayer and meditation, without making conscious contact with God. Because I need to know, I have to get my marching orders for the day. I need to know what God wants me to do today. And this is, I've been thinking, this is such a contrast to what I used to do. When before recovery, I was often in relapse. I woke up in the morning, and my first conscious thought, as soon as I opened my eyes, was food. Food. That's not, you know, I was so selfish and self-centered, just like the big book said, that's the root of my problem, selfishness and self-centered. And the first thing I would think about is food. What do I want to eat? You know, what can I throw together in the house just to get me to the crack shop on the way to work? And, you know, I would do that. I wouldn't shower. I wouldn't brush my teeth. You know, I just wanted to die. And so I needed to have food to just numb that. And I would throw something together and then go to the crack shop, like I said, and stop and buy my favorite binge foods. And by 7 o'clock in the morning, I had eaten so much. I had eaten more flour, sugar, fat, salt than most people eat in a week. That was just by 7 o'clock in the morning. And so the day was over. The day was absolutely over. No conscious contact with God at all. Just what I needed, how I felt. And today, I don't have to do that. I don't fight it. When I was in relapse in the morning, I would see if I had the energy to fight the disease today. Do I have the energy to at least try to fight the disease today? You know, I promised myself I was going to start today. When I went to bed last night, I promised myself I was going to start today in my absence. Do I have it in me to even try? And most oftentimes it was no, I don't. And then the rest of my thoughts were, what am I going to eat today and when and how and how much and all that. And today, when I wake up, I don't fight anyone or anything. Just like the big book says, I don't fight anyone or anything. I open my eyes and I make conscious contact with God. And I don't have to fight. I don't have to think about food. I'm not going to eat for another 3 hours. And I know exactly what I'm going to eat today and how much because I wrote it down and committed it to God the night before. So I don't even have to think about food. That's the last thing that has to come in my mind. And it's just so beautiful to make conscious contact with God first thing in the morning. And I'm so grateful. So thank you for letting me share.
And Suzanne, do you want to take a quick minute before we end? It's up to you, Suzanne. You could do a quick minute or you could share at the next meeting, whatever. Are you there? I'd be happy to have you share for a minute or two. But I can't hear you, so if you'd please press star one. Oh, there you are. Okay, great. So, Suzanne, if you could just be mindful of our time, maybe a minute or two at the most, but we'd love to hear you.
So this paragraph is very, very much connected with the paragraph that we just read on awakening. And when I look at indecision is fear. So if I have fear, what does the book tell me to do? It tells me to go back to my 10th step. And I'm going to my 10th step because what's the first direction there? It's God, please take away my fear. Please take away my anger. And as we go through this paragraph, when we're looking, we're really looking at the 10th step quite a bit. And we don't have to be afraid of observe actions because we've got step two where we tell ourselves that a higher power, we're choosing to go to a higher power that's bigger than anything that can take and help us solve any problems possible. And then we go to step three, which is we're going with the flow of that day. So we don't have anything to worry about because we've got these very, very specific steps to use. With the on awakening, it's I wake up in the morning, I ask my higher power to direct my thinking. We consider our plans for the day. And that the way that those pros are written, if I've already have some plans, and what I'm doing is I'm looking at those plans the next morning and seeing if my higher power has still directed me in those plans or not. And I can go on, but I know that you have a time limit, so I'll stop. Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne, so much. And I want to say a special thank you to everyone who shared today. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Sally A., will you please read A Vision for You?
Yes, I'd be happy to. Good morning, A Vision for You. It's Sally in South Jersey, recovered. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.